Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It has been a pleasure to be with you over the past couple of days and to see a bit of your community and to meet many of you wonderful.
University in 2019, and I am currently in the final year for my Master's of Divinity through Wesley Seminary. I have two older brothers and a twin sister. I am a power lifter and enjoy being outdoors. Often you'll find me in my kayak with a fishing pole or hiking or camping or cooking or baking. Over the past few days, I've gotten the chance to know many of you, and I've heard many stories over from the past years. And I've heard about how Pastor Philip was an artist, and I need you to know that I am not an artist at all. I am a far cry from an artist. I do some graphics work on my computer. I create some of the logos that we do, but I am far from an artist. In fact, my students, whenever they think there might be a chance I will draw something on the whiteboard, they beg me to draw a picture just so they can laugh at how bad of an artist I am. I am comically bad at drawing, which is a little ironic because today's scripture reading is all about an artist. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down at once to the potter's house. There I will reveal my words to you. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working away at the wheel. But the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hand. So he made it into another jar, as it seemed right for him to do. The word of the Lord came to me, House of Israel, can I not treat you as this potter treats his clay? Is this the Lord's declaration? Just like clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, House of Israel. Jeremiah is known for being the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations that solely focuses on lamenting. Not only did he face his own personal issues that led to deep sorrow, but he wept on behalf of the people of Judah. He was called to deliver hard messages, and many would reject his messages. And they often meant destruction for Israel and Judah. He was called to deliver messages that would require people to respond, to repent, to change their lives. In the rest of this passage, in verses 7 through 12, we see that very message attached to this passage, that if the people are unwilling to repent and be molded by God, that they will be destroyed. But today, I want to focus in on verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah is given a simple command to go to the potter's house. And I don't know about you, but when I start imagining how the Bible plays out, sometimes the way that it plays out are kind of funny, because I picture Jeremiah walking down to the potter's house, and obviously the potter is there, and he's working diligently on the jar that he's working on. Now, I want to know how Jeremiah saw him working. Did Jeremiah just walk up and start peeking through the guy's window? And just kind of like, all right, what's he doing in there? Maybe, like many people, he had jars that he would have been for sale, and Jeremiah could have just walked in, and maybe he stood in the corner and just silently observed what Jeremiah was doing, or what the potter was doing. Or maybe, my favorite one, is maybe he knew the potter. Maybe the potter was a friend, and so he went, walked right into the potter's house, he took a stool, and he sat down next to the potter and just looked at him and, sup, man? The great Hebrew greeting of sup, right? That's a common one, I think. I wonder how Jeremiah did this, but there's three important elements to this passage. There's the potter, there's the clay, and there's the potter's wheel. Now, each of these have changed a little over time. The potter's wheel has gotten better and more efficient. We might have better ways of extracting clay than they used to. But the same basic ideas today are what they still use for pottery. So I want you to imagine that you're Jeremiah and you're going to the potter's house. Why would you go there? Because God told you to. Because God wants to convey a message to you. And so you see the potter and he's working diligently. And the clay becomes flawed. Now I want you to imagine, why would that clay be flawed? Did it dry out and begin to crack? Maybe it was too wet still, and it began to, every time he started working on it, it would slowly fall in on itself. Maybe the clay was uneven and it was heavy, and therefore one side was heavier than the other and burdened, and it collapsed over. But what you see is the potter doesn't pick the clay up and throw it across the room in frustration. Instead, he begins to shape it again. He goes about his business, remolding and shaping it into a beautiful creation. In verses 5 and 6, God makes it clear that Israel, his people, are the clay, and that he is the potter. There is a communal aspect to this passage. But church, today we can look at this passage from both a personal and a communal sense. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands." Isaiah makes it clear that we are being molded and shaped by the potter. So I want to take time to talk about each of the three key parts of this story. First, let's talk about the clay, the people. We are created by God. We are his masterpiece. Not just another part of creation, but the piece that God was most proud of, that he cared so much for, that he not just spoke us into existence, but breathed life into us, making us in his very image, putting his image into nothing more than what was dirt. Clay is dirt. Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Genesis 2:7, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Without the image of God in us, without his breath, without the potter, the clay will always remain nothing more than a lump of dirt. The potter does not need the clay, but the clay does need the potter. And though the potter does not need the clay, he desires it. He desires to mold it. He takes joy in shaping it. An artist or a musician does not need to create art or play music, but the love they have for what they do and for what they create draws them to continue doing it. Without it, they will live, but without it, there will be a part of them missing or bottled up because they expressed themselves through it. The potter made people in his image. Out of an expression and an overflow of his love, God created humanity. A problem, though, we are not pure clay. We are full of impurities. We are full of sin. We are full of non-clay things. Back in Jeremiah's day, you didn't get to just walk to the craft store and pick up a block of clay, nor did you get to order off of Amazon and have a large crate of it just delivered to your home. You had to go and harvest it, and that meant work. It meant taking a large bucket to a riverbed or to a crack in the ground and getting below the topsoil and finding the clay and breaking off chunks of it, carrying it back, soaking it in water, and then you would have to run it through filters to get all the debris out, and then you'd have to let it just sit and let that slurry of dirt and stuff just sit, and the clay would stay at the top, and the heavier sediment would fall to the bottom. It was a lot of work, and it took time, and it took energy on behalf of the potter. We're full of debris. We're full of other types of dirt. But God, the potter, desires to be with us. He desires to have a relationship with us. He didn't need us, but he chose us. And so he sent Jesus to die on a cross for us that we could be saved, that we could be purified, that we could be run through that filter, washed clean of our sin, and experience his grace and be sanctified, made clean. That we can even be something that he works with and forms and shapes, not because we're worthy of such things, but because he loves us that much. That we could have a relationship with him and be used by him. The second element, the potter. We've already established that God is the potter, but let's talk more about who he is. Because the potter not only purifies the clay, but he forms and he molds it into something beautiful. To be clay on the wheel of the potter means to submit to the will of God. The clay does not get a say in what the potter does. We often don't like that. We feel that we should get a say in the happenings, and we try to impose our will on God, and what we often find, hopefully, is that God's vision and plan would have been so much better than our own. He can make the clay into anything he desires. But what he makes depends on two factors: the need and the pliability. The need is the need of the kingdom of God. In what role do you serve? Who is it that you are reaching and connecting with? Maybe God is preparing you to go somewhere or to try something new in your life. God has a way of creating exactly what is needed at the time that it's needed. There was a show on TV when I was in high school called Gallivant, and it wasn't a very popular show, but there was a character named Sid, and he was trying to find his leader, Gallivant. And he's on his way, and he travels through the Forest of Coincidence. And as he's in the Forest of Coincidence, Sid says that he can't find Gallivant. And somebody happens to walk by right then and says, "Oh, Gallivant is at his father's house. It's a 5-day walk from here." What a coincidence. Then Sid says, "Well, if I had a horse, I could make that trip in an afternoon." Just then a salesman walks by and says, "I have a horse for sale that can make a 5-day trip in a single afternoon." And Sid says, "I don't have any money to pay you." And he says, "I don't need money. I need a pair of used size 7 shoes." And Sid says, "I'm a size 7 and I have an extra pair." All in the Forest of Coincidence. With God, there is no coincidence. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. I bet if we passed a mic around, there could be all sorts of stories of those kinds of things. Of people finding just what they need when they need it. Oftentimes through other people. A note, a phone call, a comment, maybe a bigger gesture, food when there was none. People who felt alone and were given a family. People at their lowest, and just then someone shows up and tells them about Jesus, and they experience the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. God shapes us and moves us in whatever ways are needed for his kingdom. He is showing himself not only to us, but through us. The second factor is the pliability of the clay. Clay needs to be pliable. It needs to be easy to work with. We often want to resist God because we want to be in control. We stiffen ourselves and no longer become pliable, no longer yielding to his will. But God is not passive. He is working in our lives. And if you are resisting him, it's time to be pliable. One of the things that they teach lifeguards is that you need to be able to be stronger and better technique and to help a person who's panicking, because a panicking person is just flailing about and they are the most dangerous thing to the lifeguard. The thing most likely to drown the lifeguard is not an animal or something else. It is the person they are trying to save. Quit fighting the potter. Allow yourself to be saved. Allow yourself to be molded. We don't always know where God is going or what God is doing. Rarely do we get to know the plan 10 steps ahead. But the potter has a plan. The potter starts with an image in his mind and begins to create. Solomon in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." God has a plan. He knows what comes next. We don't always get to know, but we can trust that God does. We may not understand it all, and we might have questions on the method that the potter uses, but he knows what he's doing. Which brings me to the third part, the wheel. The wheel is how the potter molds the clay. It's how God molds us. It spins around and around, and well, the potter gently begins forming the clay, bringing it out and adding designs. And it's just when the clay becomes flawed that the potter carefully continues forming it back to where it needs to be, into the image that he has created for us. Think back to the clay on the wheel and how you would imagine it. A lot of times we can be like that. We can be dried up and cracking, our faith slowly giving way, slipping into old habits, allowing disagreements with others to chip away at us, small cracks becoming bigger cracks. And we need to be refreshed to go back to our first love and abide in his presence. Maybe you're like the clay that's too wet and you're collapsing in on yourself. Has there been something that you've had to walk through maybe for a while? And you're just tired as life keeps pouring on, adding one thing and then another, and it's becoming too much. It's time to trust the potter in your circumstances. Through the circumstances of life, God molds and shapes us. He doesn't force them on us, but he lets us go through them. Because when we trust him through them, we become shaped like the image he created us in originally. Maybe you're too heavy on one side, burdened by things that you just can't seem to let go of. Are you ready to give up those burdens? To just collapse and let yourself be crushed because you've been carrying them for so long? It's time to let the potter even you out. Give them to God. They no longer need to be what defines you. The potter defines what the clay is and what it will be. The wheel is a scary place because it means that you have to trust God wholly. It means giving up the things that have defined us for so long, that we have held on to for so long, and to be shaped and molded by the potter. It means to be changed, and often changed through the circumstances of life. And when everything seems to be going wrong, we want to rip back control. We want to go back to our old ways, and we have to let ourselves continue to be spun around the wheel, trusting in the hands of not just any potter, but the perfect potter. The one who is willing to send Jesus to die for us, that we could be saved. Who wants to restore us back to a perfect image we were created in. When I think about all this, it brings an old prayer chorus to mind. And maybe you know this. "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you." At the beginning of this message, I mentioned that there was an individual way to understand this passage, but there's also a communal way to understand this passage. And though I focused on the individual aspect, as I finish this message, I want to briefly mention the communal aspect of this. See, the jar is the nation of Israel. It's the church. And God is in control of it. He cares about the church. He loves the church. And the clay is the people. It's those who are working together as the body of Christ that make up this jar. And the truth is, you can look at it as the church universal, but you can also look at it as the Wesleyan Church of Fairfield. The clay is those of you who make up this congregation, who have worked diligently in this church. And as I said, I've heard many stories of Pastor Phillips' 22 years here. And a pretty important piece of your jar was taken away. All that he did and meant for this community. So now comes the time where you're going through a process to find a piece that will replace him. And whether myself or someone else, there will be changes that occur along the way. I don't mean someone will come in next week and change everything about this church, but there will be small differences that you would notice immediately in things like preaching styles and programming and those kinds of things. But remember to seek God in it all. Because if you seek God, then you're trusting whatever piece he's going to add in to the jar. And that he has a plan. It might be clay that hasn't been worked as much as the church has, but it will blend together. And the potter has a perfect image in store for his church here in Fairfield. Will you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for this day, and God, we thank you that you are in control and that you do have a image in mind for us and for your church. God, I pray that we would be willing to bend to your will and to understand that you have a plan. God, I pray that we would be a people who seek after and follow you through all that we do. And God, I pray for this church as they continue to seek out who it is that you are leading here to lead them. And God, I pray that you would be in this process and give them wisdom through it all. In Jesus' name, amen.